I felt impressed to bring a message from this scripture for you this evening. And I want to show you something that I've never noticed before concerning this scripture. If you'll underscore in verse 22 the word wives, in verse 25 the word husbands, in chapter 6 verse 1 the word children, chapter 6 verse 4 the word fathers, chapter 6 verse 5 the word servants, chapter 6 verse 9 the word masters. Six words: wives, husbands, children, fathers, servants, masters. Now turn to Colossians, and here's Paul wrote that epistle to the church at Ephesus, and here he is writing to the church at Colossae. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. The same order. Colossians 3:18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it's fit in the Lord. Verse 19, same order. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. Now chapter 4, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven, and continue in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Same words: husbands, wives, husbands, children, parents, servants, and masters. Now back to our text in Ephesians 5. I call this message the foundation for Christian graces. These are Christian graces. Christian graces. And this message I call the foundation for Christian graces. That's which produces this spirit and behavior and work. Now the world is full of religious books on various subjects. You go into one of these Christian bookstores and you'll find books on how to be saved and how to be filled with the Spirit and how to be a useful Christian and how to live a victorious life and how to have a successful marriage and how to raise your children, how to build a Christian home and how to live for Jesus. And I'm not discounting these books. I'm not at all. These efforts to help people with their problems. I'm sure many of these books have some good things written by some good men. And I'm not oversimplifying the answer to these problems. But I feel quite strongly that as far as believers are concerned, we need to turn from all of these philosophies and psychology of men and turn to the Word of God for our instructions and for our rule of life, His Word. I would say, instead of spending our time studying these books written by men on how to perform these Christian graces, let's study the Scriptures. Let's search the Scriptures. Let's interpret the Scriptures with the Scriptures. This is what I've tried to do. You say, well, preacher, you've written some books. Yes. We've got some commentaries, and we've got a book on the Gospel of John, and we've got those two books on Old Testament pictures of Christ seen with New Testament eyes. There are two now. One will be out shortly, and the second one. But you'll notice what I've tried to do in these books is not set forth my philosophy in regard to these things, but to tell you what the Scriptures are saying in regard to these things. That's what we've done in our books, in our commentaries, in the Gospel of John, and we've gone verse by verse and tried to show you what the Scripture says. And so I say to every one of us, what does the Lord say? Let's read the Word of God and see what the Scripture says about these things. Just what God says. You know, over in 2 Peter, turn over there just a moment, 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter says this, and this is something that we need to remember when we're reading the Scriptures. That no, in 2 Peter 1 verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And somebody says, well, that means that we're not to interpret it privately ourselves. No, we're not to interpret it ourselves. We're to interpret it by the Scriptures. In other words, what he's saying there is that one verse of Scripture doesn't stand alone. It means what it means all the way through the Word of God. You interpret Scripture by Scripture. You cut a diamond with a diamond. You interpret Scripture by Scripture. In other words, what this says here is what it says all the way through the Word of God. It's the same meaning all the way through. Interpret Scripture with Scripture. So search the Scriptures. As I sat down and read this Scripture this morning, was prepared to bring it to you tonight, it means just what it says. God means exactly what He's saying here. Line upon line, precept upon precept. So search the Scriptures. And the second thing I would say is this. But there's a vital key word that must accompany the searching of the Scriptures and the studying of the Scriptures and finding out what the Scriptures teach. There's another word that goes along with it. Search the Scriptures and then be submissive to the Scriptures. Do what they say. You see here in verse 21 of my text, Ephesians 5, verse 21, submitting yourselves unto one another in the fear of the Lord. When you search the Scriptures, submit yourself to Christ. Submit yourself to the Scriptures. Submit yourself to one another. Obey the Scriptures. Don't just read them to find out what the doctrine is and what the Scriptures are teaching. Read it with intent to do what it says. Look over in James chapter 1. James, the first chapter. Read it with the intention of doing what it says. Now, in James chapter 1, I want you to look at this. It says in James chapter 1, verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. We don't read the Scriptures just to find what they're saying. We read the Scriptures to find what they're saying to us with the intent to receive them, believe them, and do what they say. Be ye doers of the Word, not just hearers only. Well, we heard a good sermon. Do no good unless it's put in practice. Because if you're just a hearer, you're deceiving. We're deceiving ourselves. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, Now watch this. He's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He looks, he stops and looks in the looking glass. And it tells him what he is, how he appears, what shape he's in, and so forth. For he beholdeth himself and goes his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He forgets what that mirror says to him. He doesn't like the reflection necessarily. He doesn't agree with the reflection. The reflection shows him in a bad light. And in order to forget it, he just turns and walks away. That's a hearer of the word and not a doer. Now, what's a doer? But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, what's this saying? The man who looks into the word, he looks, he doesn't just behold it and go his way. He doesn't just hear it and go his way. He doesn't just listen to what's being said or see what's being written and walk away. No, this man gazes. The word there, whoso gazes into the perfect law of liberty. He gazes. He looks with interest and care and concern about what it says. What it says to him. How it relates to him. How it affects him. How it exposes him. How it convicts him. How it troubles him. He keeps looking into it and keeps looking into it and gazing into it. This perfect law of liberty is the gospel of Christ. The truth of God. He gazes into it. And listen, he looks into the word with every intention to receive it and to obey it and to follow it. Well, listen to what it says about that man. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he continues to look and to gaze and to study. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his doings. In his deeds, in his doings, he's going to be blessed. You see what it's saying? We read scripture like this over here about wives and husbands and children and parents and servants and masters and believers and children of God. And we look and say, that sounds awful good. We walk away. No, the way to look at it is with intent, gazing into it, searching it with a concern and a care, with submission, with surrender, with this is what I intend to do. This is what I intend to put in practice, what this is saying. I used to have a safety deposit box down at the bank. Didn't have anything of any value to keep in it, but I got it for a while and kept birth certificates in it and things like that. But a safety deposit box, I don't know about now, but back then it required two keys. Is it still that way? Still got two keys? Anybody got a safety deposit box? All right, the bank had one key and you had the other. The bank couldn't open it without your key, and you couldn't open it without their key. And so you go down there, and they give you the other key. You got two keys. You got theirs, and you got yours. And then you open that box, and the treasures are taken out. Well, that's a good illustration of this right here. Here is the Word of God with its promises. Here's the Word of God with its precepts. Here's the Word of God with its commandments. Here's the Word of God with its instructions. Here's the Word of God with its blessings and treasures for us believers. There it is. What's the other key? A willingness to do it. That's the other key. You got the other key. A willingness to put it in, a willingness to walk therein. That is absolutely necessary. Otherwise, it's just the man looking into the mirror. And what he sees, he may like or not like. He turns and walks away. That's good preaching. That's good doctrine. That's facts. That's what the Bible says. But then the man who is blessed in his deeds, he sits and listens. with concern and with intent and with an interest. And he says, from this day forward, that's what I'm going to do. That's going to be my way. God's way is going to be my way. Whatever it costs me, whatever it requires, but God's way is going to be my way. Submission. Well, there's another important word, too. Search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures with intent, with submission. Whatever the Scripture says, that's what I'm going to be, and that's by God's grace, that's what I'm going to do. But there's another word. Why? Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's for the glory of God. That's why. For the glory of God. Because I'm His and He is my beloved. Because I love Him and He loves me. And because I want to do what He says. And because I want to glorify His name. And because I want to be a blessing for His glory. Let me show you some Scripture. Turn again to that Colossians 3 over there. That's why. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Colossians 3, 17. It says here, and whatsoever you do, let's go back to verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Dwell in you richly. His word dwell in you richly. All of it. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That's why, for the glory of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians 3:23, just down a few verses. Again, he says, and whatsoever you do, here at church, in the home, on the streets, in the store, in the place of business, in the school, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord. Not to be seen of men, not for the praise of men, but as to the Lord. That's the motive. That's why. To His glory. That's why. To His praise. Whatever you do, do it to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10. Turn over there. Let's see this again. 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 31. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. It says here, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know, when Samuel kept coming to Eli saying that, did you call for me? Did you call for me? Samuel said, Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Samuel go back to bed. He came back and said, did you call me? I thought you called me. I didn't call you. On the third time, he said, son, he said to young Samuel, he said, you go lie down. And it shall be, if the Lord calls you again, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. You speak. I respond. I hear. I do. Whatever you say for your glory. Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. Scripture says that he was smitten down, and in verse 6 of Acts 9 it says, and Saul of Tarsus, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? Speak. Let's look back at our text in verse 19. Go back just two verses where Hap began reading in verse 21. I want to show you something right along the line here. It's we search the Scriptures. We read the Word. Secondly, we read it in a submissive manner with intent with concern, with care. I want to do what it says. I want to be what it requires. I want to walk where it says walk. That's what I want to do. And I want to do it for the glory of God. Not just to be seen of men, not for the praise of men, but because I love Him, for His glory. Now look at verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's to Him. Well, this is what the preacher says do. No, it's to Him. Well, this is what's required. No, it's to Him. This singing and praising God and exhorting one another and encouraging one another is to Him, to His glory, to the Lord. Look at verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our thanks and praise is in His name. It's to Him and in His name. That's why we walk this route, why we do these things. It's to Him and in His name and for His glory. Now watch verse 21. Submitting yourselves, surrendering yourselves, committing yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In the fear of God. In the fear of God. And this is not a reluctant, slavish, rebellious fear. Well, if I don't do it, God's going to scold me or whip me or chastise me or send some terrible thing in my life. It's because of reverence for Him and a love for Him. It's the obedience of a loving son who respects and reverences and loves his heavenly Father. And that's the key to all of this right here. That's the key to all. As we read these things, wives, look at them again. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. As unto the Lord. The husband's the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is submissive to Christ and subject to Christ and committed to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Build a peaceful and happy and loving home in subjection and submission to your husband. Why? To the glory of God. To the glory of God. For the honor of God. Because you love God. Because He's your Father. Because you're His child. Husbands, love your wife. Even as Christ loved the church. Can a man love his wife too much? No, sir. No, sir. Somebody criticized John Newton because he loved his wife so strongly. When she died, he had a terrible time with it. He wrote hymns and poems about her for 2 or 3 years. Finally, he got himself together, got hold of himself. But somebody said he just loved her too much. Well, it says, love your wives as Christ loved the church. You can't love her that much. That's impossible. He loves the church with an infinite love, everlasting love, with an unchanging love. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Gave Himself for it. You know, somebody read this one time, talking to the wives, said she was taken from the husband from Adam's side. She wasn't taken from his head to rule over him. She wasn't taken from his feet to be walked on by him and mistreated. She was taken from his side, right next to his heart, to be loved by him, and right under his arm to be protected by him and to be cared for. So husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, that He might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You know, I know today they talk about Marriage is a partnership. In a sense, it is. Marriage is 50-50. Now, in a sense, it is. What is hers is mine. What's mine is hers. And we're one flesh in Christ. But there's a leader in the home, and that's the husband. There's a leader, and the wife is in subjection. He loves her. He rules by love. She follows the same way. And that's what that's saying, that so men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. It's a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, don't look into this and be like the man looking in the mirror and walk away. But look into it. Look into it. Gaze into it. Camp there. Make your home a happy home, a peaceful home, a joyful home. A home where Christ reigns. A home without conflict and anguish and argument and bittering and backbiting and fault finding. It's just not, it should not be. It will not be. It will not be. Not where Christ is. Do it. Do it. We'll talk about it. We'll say, well, that's good doctrine. No, that's not doctrine. That's the way of life. It's more than doctrine. It's a way of life. All right, look at his children. Obey your parents in the Lord. Do it now. This is the right way. Obey your parents. Honor your father and mother. That doesn't stop when you grow up and go to college and marry somebody. It goes on till the parents are put in the grave. Honor them. Love them. Cherish them. Respect them. That's right. That it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. Imagine as many a daddy has said about a boy, I hope you have a son just like you when you grow up. Or a daughter just like you, but love them. Honor them. Respect them. And verse 4, you fathers. Now here's an interesting scripture here. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, in my day, back yonder years ago, we parents and my parents were unreasonable, too hard on children. That's right. Too hard. But you folks today are too easy. That's right. We've got to get in here somewhere. Don't provoke them to wrath. Don't be unreasonable. Don't be too hard. You know, we grew up back yonder, and their children were to be seen and not heard. And they were not to be reasoned with. They were to be told something and slapped if they didn't do it. That's right. That was the philosophy back yonder. But the philosophy today is leave them alone. Don't bother with them. Let them do their thing. That's dead wrong. There's a way in here. Don't provoke them to wrath, but discipline and control. You're the parent. You're the leader in the home. And do it as unto the Lord. Do it for the glory of God. All right. Well, I've got to move on. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Listen, we who work for people and serve people, do it with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Like you're working for the Savior, working for the Lord Jesus, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not unto men. Serve, labor, do a good work, do a good job. Take seriously what you've been given to do. knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or whether he be free. And you masters, you men who work other men, you do the same thing to them. You treat them like you would have them treat you. Do unto them as you would have them do unto you, and forbear threatening, and knowing that your master's in heaven, and there's no respect of persons with him. So when the word of God becomes our rule of life, and the will of God becomes our prayerful goal, and the gospel of Christ becomes our great delight, and when the glory of God becomes our chief desire, and when the worship of God our most enjoyable occupation, and when the people of God become our constant companions, and when this is our goal and our aim, to see Him, to dwell in His house, and to be like Him, and that becomes more important to us than everything else in this world, then we'll start walking in this way. And it'll be a pleasant path, a joyful path, a joyful path. Our Lord said, if you love me, you'll keep my word. That's what it's based on. If you love me, keep my word. If you love Christ, we'll love each other. If any person be in Christ, he's a new creature. He that is of God heareth God's word. And to try to motivate people by any other means is a waste of time. It's a waste of time. Our motivation is our relationship with our Lord. Our relationship with Him. And a desire to grow in that grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Search the Scriptures. And do it with intent and concern. To do what the Scripture says. And do it for the glory of God. Do it for the glory of God. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that You have revealed to us the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And brought us to love Him, trust Him, believe on Him. Look to Him and Him alone, Christ Jesus, our Redeemer, our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption, all things in Him. We thank You, Lord, for a revelation of Your will and Your way through Thy Word. And we pray that You give us the grace and the desire to walk in Thy Word, to glorify Your name in all that we do. Grant that our lives might bring glory to You at all times. Give us, O Lord, that love for Christ and love for one another, and make it to grow. We pray tonight for our friends who are sick. Minister to them. Strengthen and heal their bodies. We pray for our faithful missionaries ministering Your word. We pray, O Lord, for those who are in sorrow and bereavement. We pray, O Lord, for those who preach the gospel here in this nation. Bless them. Use all of us for Your glory and Your praise. We pray for Thy people, and especially for this family here. Lord, use us for Your glory. Open effectual doors for us to minister to Thy sheep and make us a blessing. Lord, make us a blessing. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.